You're listening to Red Nation Online.
It's the dawn of really a new era as far as I'm concerned. The gentleman we're about to meet as the new head coach of Toronto FC, Ryan Nelson.
Sunday, January 13th. Eastside Stand-Up is back for its fifth year, remaining the only Toronto FC-specific podcast in the football landscape. It's Steve Perry, Andre Zadorozny, and I'm Ian Clark, and it's a tribute to Monday's press conference, as we are also shaking off the rust and trying our best to answer the difficult questions. We cover the last few months with the arrival of Kevin Payne, talk at length about Ryan Nelson's appointment, and what's coming up in the next few weeks. Signature sarcasm, facetiousness, and mistrust abounds all in the next 30 minutes on Eastside Stand Up.
Like we never left.
Roll it up. And that's been the theme now for 100 episodes. Guys, this is it.
Happy anniversary, Eastside.
Yeah. You know, 100 episodes. And we accomplished that through almost 50% of that coming in 2012. We're on season 5 now. So this is the fifth year of Eastside Stand Up.
You know what's interesting about the Eastside? The east side traditionally in every city is the shitty side, right? They put the crappy stuff on the east side. So the sanitation plants and the garbage dumps are all on the east side because wind goes from west to east, right? Blows out of the city, doesn't blow into the city. Okay. So east sides are traditionally the crappy, poor ends of town. And if you look at the stadium, it is also the crappy side of the stadium.
It's true.
Our stadium emulates the city.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm proud to be from the east side. The Violetones. Well said. The Violetones. Famous punk band from Toronto, always said that the east side was the punker side of town.
There it is.
And they were right.
You know what? In 2013, I think you could probably build a case for that.
Definitely
going to
be pretty grimy in 2013.
Well, all the guys who were on our team, on our punk soccer team, sit in the east side.
Yeah, it's true. So here, like again, we've made it to season 5. V, so the tickets that were out 2 years ago, or I guess it'd be 2 years ago now, apply to Eastside Stand Up.
Oh, we've often talked about the 5-year plan. We never make it past a 1-year plan, really.
No.
So, but here we are, the first 5-year plan.
So, and as we usually will, you know, in the intro, we give everyone's here, but Tim Vickery could not make it on this night. He is sick. And so we got Steve Perry, Andre Zadorozny. It's sort of like, I could say, you know, the four of us have been the core of this pod for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we came on, Steve, you kind of started laying it out about what this podcast has been about, what it is about, and what it probably will be in 2013. You know, the one thing I wanted to add is, of course, we usually don't do a podcast in January. We wait till the season starts. And that's part of how it's evolved over the last few years. I mean, last year, again, was the first year we did away games. And then this year, there'll be one other introduction, and that is I'm going to try to squeeze in another pod outside of the regular games. Because what happens during the games, and this was a suggestion from someone that I thought really made sense, is that, you know, we're covering the games and we're sort of, because it's happening so fast, we're kind of missing bigger things that are happening or things that are going over that and in between in terms of player rumors and stuff. So we're going to try to do once a month. So at the start of every month, sort of a podcast that looks back on the month and looks ahead to the next month and sort of covers each other through the year. So there'll be a supplement to this Eastside Stand Up, the game recaps, so to speak. That'll be more of just a general discussion on Toronto FC from the month that was and the month that's coming up.
The game doesn't end after 90 minutes. There's always transfers and talks, especially with this team, especially last year. There was always something going on.
And especially recently.
And recently, yeah.
Which brings us to today's cast.
Yeah, today's good. Well, it does, but I think, but just before we get into it,
sure,
people are probably asking, "Holy shit! What you know? We kind of dropped off the face of the earth."
Where'd you go, Spark?
Well, I.
But why didn't we do any podcasts at the end of the season last year?
Well, you know,
it's all your fault.
Let's be fair. Even without me,
I am fair. It's all your fault.
Even without me, let's be fair. The motivation for genuine discussion. And you know what else interesting? We're gonna have a podcast that I'm gonna put together. I've actually I've re-listened to every podcast from 2012.
Oh wow!
And sort of like pulled the highlights. 40 of them? Yeah.
Wow.
And well, not
for today's podcast.
Not for today's, but an upcoming one. And
that would have been good to do for 100 years.
There's definitely like something. That's definitely something unfolds to the season where at the beginning, you know, there's actual discussion about the games, you know, and within the first 9 games, and it definitely just at the end of the year, we're talking about the game for about 5 minutes, and just shitting on the club for the next 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
So there's really no discussion left to be had about the game. We're just lamenting on the state of the club, and I think that sort of it became a broken record at the end of the year. And you know what? It's probably better that we sat out a couple of games because the Montreal game was terrible. The Columbus game was terrible. Yeah. I mean, there was really nothing worthwhile to discuss. The season was done, right? Yeah. And so, I mean,
And the team had very little players left. And it was pretty much, they were fielding a really substandard team. And
yeah, it wasn't even that we were losing. It was just also, I mean, the team was terrible.
Yeah, we were the football was terrible to
watch. And the coach was throwing everybody under the bus. I mean, there was new things to talk about. There was things to talk about.
Right.
But it was
being
covered.
You get to a certain point where you just, what's the point of even talking about the same thing?
Well, I think it was being covered anyway.
Of course.
Right. So that now takes us into this off season because definitely things have been shaken up at Toronto FC. And that's what brings us to this special preseason podcast.
Are we officially in preseason?
Well, I mean, for us.
Well, I mean, there's enough press conferences going on.
Big changes.
Big week. Yeah. And that's again what motivated us to get this podcast going was that.
So Mariner's out.
Mariner's gone. But before
Who's really surprised. Oh, where are we gonna go?
Well, first? I wanted to start with even before Mariner. I mean there was news,
well,
of course.
Didn't they sign Mariner like sort of near the end a little bit for a contract or something?
Arrogant and cocky. He said that he was gonna get the job done this year. When people asked about his job. He wasn't afraid of his job. Of course, what's he gonna say? But well, I really honestly firmly believed he believed.
Well, people were telling me that he was high-fiving people when they announced that Aaron Vinter was fired.
Well,
what kind of an asshole is that?
A big one.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, but he brought that on the pitch too, on the sidelines and how he reacted with the fans and how he reacted with his players.
He did.
And the media.
And we were talking about, I think you and I, Sparky, were talking about how like he was known for being a better coach at other places where he had coached. And then all of a sudden this ambitiousness came out with his relationship with Vinter. And I think it set the tone for how he became a guy who basically found scapegoats and, you know, basically was up for blaming the other guy all the time. It was never his fault. It was never his team's fault. Or it was always someone else's fault, usually the team. And
he showed that at the final press conference.
At first it was Vinter's fault, and now it became the players.
Well,
he
just threw everything.
And you can't build morale with a team. You can't bring a squad together like that. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, this became his modus operandi. He, you know, you learn everything. You learn something new with every position. And I guess his lesson at Toronto FC was how to throw people under the bus. And that became his modus operandi.
I mean, it could have been promises that were given to him that he thought that he was untouchable. That's what it seemed to me. In every press conference he made at the end, he seemed untouchable.
Yeah, but which coach has ever done that?
Yeah.
But I'm sure
every coach is on the line for their records.
And they'll tell you anything to make you feel better.
And with MLSE?
And sell me.
Are you kidding?
MLSE, etc.
These coaches are more they're the deflectors to keep the blame away from the fucking head office,
the actual
right?
problem, yeah.
But again, that's a perfect segue now into the head office, because the head office that I think we had, you know, sort of shone a light on last year that I think we just were like really fed up with was Tom Anselmi and his hands on the club and his sort of willingness to take some responsibility, not take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't know what he did, what he had done in years past. You know, he'd somehow said he only was responsible for two coaches, but who was responsible for the others then?
Right.
You know, if you're the guy that's the face of this team. And it looks like...
But he built up an army of tin soldiers that he could knock over.
Right. The whole concept.
Take the sword, right? Like, they, you know, he had all kinds of people there.
That's the mantra of the club over that organization was pass the buck. And it's someone else's fault.
And blame the person lower in the chain.
Right.
Yeah. So he moves on when this, you know, with the ownership change, and in comes Kevin Payne from DC United. I don't know if a shock is the word. I mean, the a couple of moves I think have been surprising and definitely shooken the club up. If anything, you know, I think the positive when that came out was that, okay, we've got someone in here who's going to be at the top that actually has experience, you know, running a football club. And one of the things that we were talking on the way here, Andre, that I thought that I sort of put together and I thought was pretty important, especially when we're talking about, you know, what's happened this last week, and it's been a bit of a shit show. And if people are losing any confidence in Kevin Payne, but one thing that, you know, I've always, you know, trying to be consistent, you know, with what we've said, of course, we've said things like, I have always wanted an experienced coach, and I've ragged on the fact that Aaron Vinter wasn't experienced. Even I didn't think Paul Mariner wasn't experienced enough to be running this club. But when we look at Kevin Payne, the one thing I'll say about him that I think is important for Toronto FC is, there's 2 points in the history of DC United where DC went from a top side to a bottom side, back to a top side to a bottom side, until he left this year when they're back in the playoffs and looking as strong as they've been in 4 years. For me, you know, obviously Toronto FC, that's always been, whether it's been a general manager or a head coach, you know, I've kind of thought we need an experienced head coach, was where I was thinking of this, who's taken a team from the bottom to the top. That to me would have been important, or a head coach that's experienced a championship. Something, a qualifier, something that makes them qualified. And Kevin Payne has this that I think is unique to Toronto FC, is that we're the worst team.
One of the things that gave DC an advantage was our gift to them of De Rosario.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, it wasn't that was gift. We gifted it.
That was a gift.
We shunned him. He was
a pariah. Gift.
Don't forget, it went to New York, then to DC United. I know. But, I mean, in a roundabout way, but yes.
Yeah. It was a gift.
Well, it would have been a gift to anybody. I mean, he's a great player, and his time at Toronto FC was blighted by his, you can argue with his checkbook writing, goal scoring figure he was making, and alienated him from.
No, but
fans.
We were talking about this. This is more to that story. I think that, like, I think it was really the management that kind of screwed this up for him. It wasn't the check writing thing; was just him reacting. I think everyone focuses on the check writing thing. I don't think Dero ever gets a fair shake in this end of the story. I think I think management made it impossible for him to be there.
You can't air your grievances on the pitch like that.
If you have no other options, you fucking have to go public. You have to go public. You go public.
But he didn't go public in the right way. When he starts, he kept his mouth shut.
You only have so many. You don't have the media behind you.
Especially in this city, right? Like, and it's a history with Toronto FC players, right? That as soon as the club
makes
it known.
This is a company town, man. They take the company over the workers every time, right?
And
the players are always shit on before the management is. We've lost every great Canadian player. We've fucking ruined all their careers. This team is fucking disaster for Canadian soccer. Honestly.
Which is, you know what's interesting is because you say
it's a disaster.
You say that, and really, I mean, if you look at the two other Canadian clubs, we play more Canadians.
We do.
Vancouver doesn't play any Canadians, and Montreal, I think, only played
Patrice
Bernier. But I mean, at least.
And then we wind up ruining them.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
And then Adekora.
Adrian Cann's gone now, right?
Yeah.
Logan Emery stays on Toronto FC. Adrian Cann is released. But in fairness.
No love lost.
You know what, though? There was an interview after Cann was released, I believe, saying.
Sure.
He actually, you know, Aaron Vinter did speak with him and he respected him for that. And then he even talked about Paul Mariner. I should give credit. This was on CSN.
Canadian
Soccer News. That Paul Mariner. The whole time that Mariner was head coach, never said two words to him. And if you notice, he never hardly ever played a game.
Yeah, but Mariner's more focused on forwards, I think. And I also think that Vinter was about establishing respect for the authority, right? And if you wanted to get in that lineup, you had to toe the line, right? You had to recognize that Vinter was top dog.
Well, that definitely comes from his pedigree.
Of course. I'm not
Mariner's
saying.
Mariner's more of a lead, you know, Leeds 19.
Yeah.
The old, you know, old timey type of football.
Late 70s, brash,
early
80s. Yeah.
Brash, you know.
Yeah.
Get muddy and dirty.
Yeah. I think there's other things going on there, but like that's, I think, boiled down. So I also think that, and what I mean by other stuff, I think that Mariner was embroiled with personal problems with his wife and his father dying and stuff like that. So I think the guy was just showing up because he had all this other personal stuff in his life and he wasn't able to coach at the end of the season. But what I'm saying is that it's sort of, it distinguishes a difference between the coaching styles between Vinter and Mariner, right? And at the end, he wasn't even coaching. He was just like, let them go get drunk in Texas, right? And,
right.
And get chased down by the Cubs.
But there's always something, isn't there? There's always a backstory to every coach
sure.
that this city has ever had.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just
I'm not saying, but it just tends to be that way. There's always nothing. Everything seems to gravitate away from the pitch and doing good things with the city and the squad. And it becomes more about...
The soap opera.
The soap opera that is the team.
Yeah.
And the soap opera continues up to this week.
Footballers wise.
Yeah. and that's what bringing us up to literally us up to speed today, which is of course Mariner. Speaking of, is no longer with the team, and in comes Ryan Nelson from Queens Park Rangers.
Queens Park Rangers, Tottenham Hotspur.
I guess when their season's over, he'll
Blackburn
be here.
Blackburn Rovers.
So he's got, you know, he's been shuffled around.
I guess he'll be here when the season's over.
Apparently, I mean, he won't be here for, according to NBC, he won't be here for any type of preseason.
That puts us at a serious disadvantage for a coach. We
haven't even done anything. It's already a disadvantage.
But Kevin Payne's doing a lot of spin doctoring, trying to make it seem like he's going to be a great coach, right? You were quoting all sorts of stuff that you've seen on New Zealand. Tell me about this.
Well, I mean, there's
this why does Kevin Payne like him so much?
Well, first off, I mean, he was the captain of his side, so he's got an.
You know, aside from that, book reading.
Oh yeah,
tell me about this.
When he was 23, and he was reading like high level technical,
a coaching manual,
difficult
tactics
and strategies.
That's why he's going to be a good coach.
So he might have read a book Che Guevara would be a good revolutionary.
I feel much better now. I feel much better now.
Unbelievable.
I think we got a good guy. Can you imagine if the Maple Leafs hired a coach that had never had any coaching experience to run?
But this goes back to what I wrote on this piece of paper. Does anybody, is there anyone who wants to coach this team? Not this BS bullshit. Hey, I have to finish out my contract.
There's lots of people who want to coach this team.
I don't think there are.
No,
is there anybody who can coach this team?
That's excellent.
Okay. No, I don't think there is. And no, I don't think there is. No on both fronts, Steve. That's what I think.
Let's break it down.
Well, let me say this like this. One of the expressions that Tim Vickery, if he was here, said last year that I think is really important for this discussion of this hiring is, let's keep it real. Keep it real, Steve. Toronto FC, now we may not be the worst team in the world, but we're pretty fucking close. So my point is that, you know, the honest truth is, I mean, we're worse than an expansion team.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that necessarily in terms of like, okay, if an expansion team came in, we wouldn't beat them.
No,
I mean,
but literally you could say that because every expansion team that's come in over the last few years has always done better.
Right.
Always succeeded us.
Now add into that.
It's like a new baby.
An expansion team isn't saddled with salaries that are grossly overpaid, you know, a reputation, a dwindling fan base, you know, all the things that would make you want to go to expansion. My point, Steve, is that, you know, a coach comes in.
Saying an expansion team is dealing from the bottom up and they're dealing.
And they have a blank.
They're trying to build
basically
stuff.
A blank slate. Yeah.
They have a blank slate. Yeah. So yes. they get to move
there's
around.
There's buzz. There's media buzz. People want you to succeed.
But we have resources.
Why can't we
have a good team?
I see. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
But my point is, with a head coach, they're going to come in and what's they're going to happen is say they're going to look at this team and say, "Well, I don't want a 36-year-old DP." And what's going to happen is say, "Well, too bad. Sorry, Ryan, you have to deal with him this year." Same thing with Eric Hasley. Same thing with Danny Kuvermans, even though you're not going to have him for half a year.
Well, that's happened to every coach here, right?
Yeah. And so what happens is, I mean, that's part of the bigger problem is that as a head coach, if you're a head coach with experience, right, and you care about your reputation, why would you ever come here? Why would you ever put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be handcuffed?
It's actually the history of us. I mean, if you look at this, and I think, you know, I don't know what Jurgen Klinsmann's conclusions were when he was hired come up with this thing, but one of the things I think he said was, you need to have a coach, because that's why Vinter was hired for 3 years. You need to have a coach that has a chance by building a team over a period of time.
Right,
that's why he was hired with a three-year contract.
Build
right?
the team.
But it seems like MLSC has never remembered that part of the suggestion box that Jurgen Klinsmann came up with. So, you know, we can talk about how bad Klinsmann is, but in the end, that's a good suggestion, right? You need a coach that, and you need to create stability with this team. That's, we've always said that the stability is the problem, one of the problems with this. Like, if you look at, instability is killing us at this point.
Right.
And has killed us for the whole 5 years
that
we've been.
I don't think MLSC ever had a fan base that was this vitriol about certain things. Leaf Nation takes it, whereas TFC eventually, that's why they're so quick. They set in this 3-year plan, but of course when things started going to shit, 0-8, 0-9, 0-10, what did they do? They did do what they do best. People start
get rid of people.
Yeah, get rid of. We need quick.
Hire within.
Right.
Yeah, you hire within and clear house. But you know what's crazy about it? I mean, we looked a couple of years ago at how many great players have come through this team, and it's crazy how many players we've got. Crazy. We've gone through, I think, more than any other team. Probably, I would probably say that we've gone through
at least.
I think we've had the whole league on our team at one point.
Well, you know what ties into that is that actually before we came over here, I flipped through this. I have an old issue of 442, and they did an article, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, called How to Rebuild a Team. And it kind of lays out the pitfalls to watch out for. And it says, you know, if you're rebuilding your club, be careful. You got to make sure you get the right coach, because inevitably every time a new coach comes in, they want their own players.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to evaluate the squad and say, I don't like this guy. I want this guy.
Yeah. And if they're working with an inherited squad, it's difficult for them to actually do the thing that they're trying to do.
Right.
It's not like Barcelona.
Which is what Vinter was talking about. Vinter was talking about that. And he was trying to get the right players. And at the, you know, in that second season, he was saying, we're starting to get closer. And even Mariner was saying that last year, we're starting to get closer. In the last two coaches, they were talking about like how, so, and Vinter had like the longest reign, right? He was had a year and a half. So, I mean, crazy. No, but crazy? I think it's funny. I think it's right. I think there's validity to that.
Vinter had it right near the end of that last season. And they were winning games and then it just went
horribly and Mariner inherited the, you know, the good results. He got a couple of good results right after, but that was because of Vinter stuff. It wasn't because Mariner was running the team. And then after that,
once he started putting his fingers over that team,
he gets rid
of De Guzman. You know, he gets rid of, well, a couple guys get injured, but the guys that he bring in, they didn't bring anything to this team.
Yeah. But he was also hamstrung by a bunch of things, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Salary caps and other stuff. Yeah. I mean, we talk about the bureaucracy. I've said, you know, that shouldn't be our hamstring because we still have resources. But in the end, I don't think he was able to do anything. Like he was still, I think he was hamstrung.
He was to a degree, but I mean, at the same time.
So what's Ryan Nelson going to bring?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's going to be.
Ryan Nelson's credential. We've done a list of what he's done, like in terms of he's still playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing that they say is a lot of people talk about his leadership capabilities. He really is.
So do we want a captain or do we want a coach?
Is a coach not a leader? Does a coach not lead the squad?
Yes, you're supposed to be motivated.
And do you have and also do players not respect a captain or their captain or the leader?
I know, but we were joking this last week about how, you know, he's going to look over at the bench. He's probably going to be the best guy on the pitch. He's probably going to put the boots on and he's going to be a player coach.
Hey, you know what?
There was times when he's an okay defender.
But you
don't get a pre-med student off a bus and go, here, do surgery.
Now, but here's the thing, too.
Yes, I agree. Right? I agree. It's ridiculous.
Yes, but come on. Like, it's not like this is, although, I mean, hiring a coach who's not going to show up because he's still playing, that is really crazy. But
especially at the beginning of the season when you're trying to build your team.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's got to be present.
A coach without who's never,
he's got to be there.
A coach who's never coached, that's not unprecedented. In football and in MLS, Jason Christ retired and went straight into being a head coach, and they won an MLS Cup.
I guess we've never tried that yet.
But he retired. But he retired, and didn't he have time? Okay. He didn't just
in the experiment that is right? TFC. This would be a new strategy.
Yeah. I mean, did he go right from playing to coaching immediately during the season?
Yeah, he did. It was like 4 or 5 games into the season, he stopped playing because they fired their coach, and he went straight into becoming the head coach. Now, my point is simply. There are examples of people who have gone straight from
successful
playing.
Examples.
Yeah, well, he won an MLS Cup
that year,
and since 2009, they've had a winning record every year.
Okay,
so for me, I mean, that I would say that's an exception.
So obviously. Let's hope he's this guy.
Yeah, let's hope so.
But I think with a team like Salt Lake, that's a bit under the radar. But Toronto is so
microscopic.
Everybody's looking at this team, and they make one wrong move, and it's just like, what are you guys doing over there? This to me seems like a bad move only because Toronto has made so many bad moves in the past.
But it seems like a bad move on a monumental scale.
Yes.
Because it's the main,
it could easily go that way.
This is the main linchpin, as you said in 4-4-2. It's the main, this is the first thing is the to get their coach right.
Get the coach right. And if you don't get it, it's either like they're geniuses and we are in the playoffs and we make a run and Ryan Nelson is hoisted above in England and everywhere and say, wow, what a
But everything points to it not being the right
thing. Right, that's what I'm saying. Or we can go the other way and like 6 weeks in the thing, we're like tearing our hair out and going, what is this? What are we doing?
Well, history says it's going to be the latter, right?
Yeah, most likely.
Well, hey, and you know what? Again, before coming in, to be totally straight, I feel like 2013, it's no matter how you sliced it or diced it, I think it would have been, the season would have been a write-off.
In MLSE, modus operandi, the importance is to find a fall guy. Kevin Payne has found his fall guy.
To me, I feel that Rogers and Bell should make more of an impact like they're doing with the Leafs, with Brian Burke, which is obviously their golden pony and something they need to take care of, whereas we're kind of the dumb donkey in the back that needs to be fed or will die. So that being said, MLSC already has painted itself in a corner, has showing little regard to its fans, little regard to the team, little regard for pretty much everything, with Tom Anselmi being the big idiot. But if Rogers and Bell show and show up and say, hey, look, we're going to try to make things different. But with the Ryan Nelson stuff and the Kevin Payne, this kind of already we're starting 2013 off.
I agree with this metaphor. I think this metaphor was shown in spades this week when you had Ryan Nelson being announced at a press conference. And the next day they're firing Brian Burke because they know that that's the more important story. And the whole Ryan Nelson thing is going to disappear because – I thought was a perfect bait and switch tactic.
Right.
I think I want to propose that we start doing a segment called Bait and Switch, which interestingly enough, as you pointed out, Sparky, bait and switch is also a short form for BS. but bait and switch was a great strategy by Rogers and Bell because, you know, you got this fucking dumbass move that you did and then it's just going to get buried because there's like an even bigger Trojan horse that just drops, right?
Yeah. So, with a bigger team. And, more important.
Of course, for the city. So, you know, they're certainly... They are strategizing with all the stuff that they're doing. It's like chess, watching chess with the multiple games going on, right? They're playing multiple hands.
Well, that's funny because you can say it too. Like, I mean, the review of the Toronto FC press conference was probably one of the worst ones that have ever been sort of like...
You were telling me about this.
This didn't sound like anyone was prepared. Either whether they weren't prepared for the Toronto media or just prepared to be doing a press conference.
You said that they got roasted.
Yeah.
As they should have.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing where it's just like, don't worry about it, guys. Tomorrow, like, no one will remember this.
It's classic. Classic bait and switch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just tell them what they want.
Look at this. This is crazy. Story changes.
Boom. You know?
So I think we should watch out for more bait and switch through the podcast.
Okay, And you know what? So
this is to accompany with our standard features of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Which will be the
media. It's more of a media.
Reinterpreting like all the sort of the communications stuff that they're doing. It's the backstory behind it. And we'll also be doing sights and sounds, which is what we hear and see at the stadium.
Probably a lot of crickets.
Yeah. We don't have any of those today.
What?
We're just doing bait and switch.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. Like I said, just keeping it real, man, that 2013, I just really thought any way we cut it, it was going to be a tough year to deal with because we were still rebuilding this side. I mean, the team that finished 2012, there's no way that was going to be the same people who were going to be standing on the pitch at the start of 2013.
Right.
So here we are, rebuilding.
Yep.
And we've got some, I guess there's been some signings. I heard that Yao Plata's coming back.
I guess that's a loan, right? Technically, yeah.
Yeah. What happened last year? There was like lots of crazy trades around this last 2 months before leading up. So I guess that's probably we'll be doing another podcast soon with all the with a team that we won't know or understand.
The contracts that were almost signed.
But we do. There's some player. There has been some signings, right?
So well, we got two new center backs.
What's the deal?
Well, Danny Califf, mid-season said, you know, if when he had the choice of going to Toronto FC or Chivas USA, he said, just don't send me to Toronto FC.
Wow. And
yet he ends.
Makes sense because Toronto was really doing poorly. And if he was going to go anywhere in the mid-season or near the end of the season, he would rather go to a team that might have a chance.
The second worst team in the league. Come on.
But they
didn't have a chance. Chivas USA
even great players like Julian de Guzman, Frings, wind up looking shit here.
Yes.
Right? Why would you want to ruin your career?
True. But he's back.
I can understand.
He's here.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, something changed.
Promises. Yes. More promises.
So we don't know the story behind it.
No, we don't know the story. And then,
but that was interesting.
And then we've signed, I think this, at least the one thing we can say, all right, well, we have an interesting signing in Gail Agbasamoah, who is a young American center back.
21 years old.
Yeah. And that is like his story is that, he had a lot of promise at a really young age. He came out of that IMG Academy in Florida, which Landon Donovan came out of. Breck Shea came out of. They turned out some really good players. And there was a good article on Soccer by Ivis where he just got, kind of tied up with a bad agent who just said, just go straight to Europe. And he just bounced around and never got any games and was going on loan and not getting any games. And there's opportunities to come back to MLS and he'd keep passing it up because, he wanted to be in Europe until finally his career had just stalled to the point where it's like he can't pass it up anymore.
And he's so young. I mean,
so at one point, I think at the U-20 or the U-17 level, I mean, he was highly touted and a really good player, had a lot of potential. So hopefully he still has that and pushes. I mean, you have, Darren O'Dea, who showed a bit last year, I thought, and you have Danny Califf, who's getting a bit older. So there might be some chances for him to get in there. And then, of course,
what happened to this Honduran player?
Oh, right. And then, of course, there's the talk about, we were looking at, what is it, Arnold Peralta and then the other Honduran whose last name's Lopez. And, the rumor, of course, is that maybe we've reached out into Central America. Like
Finally. You've been saying that for 3 years.
Holy shit. makes perfect sense. You have connections. Like, call them in. Amado Guevara.
So who is our connection?
Amado Guevara.
He's working for us.
We don't know, right?
We think, though. We think there's something
maybe not on. Working for us, but maybe,
he's scouting for us.
Commission.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's headhunting for us.
Yeah. Or it's just like, we call him up once a month and say, have you seen anything? Yeah, there's a good guy on Olympia. Yeah. There's a good guy in Motagua. Like, these are the guys, that would fit your team or fit your city. But
someone had a good idea on in Toronto FC world.
Listen to the podcast.
They did. I mean, think about it. That's great. That's brilliant. He's a guy that's loved by the city.
Yeah.
Loathed by many other teams he played for, but made a great indelible mark on the town. Super nice guy, seems like it. And why not? Give him a job. He's got his feelers out. He's obviously involved in organizations around Central America in one way or another.
Yeah.
So why not?
Hopefully this is something.
And that's we've said, like, Central America and especially Honduras, I mean, that's a treasure trove for talent right now, whether it's Honduras, Costa Rica, even Guatemala or El Salvador has, I think, potential that if we looked deep enough and put in the work and the due diligence, I think you could find one or two at least MLS caliber players.
And you still have to sell them on Toronto as a viable city. But other than that, I think for most of those players who...
Don't worry. MLS, he's good at the bullshit.
Yeah. Big promises.
The promo videos, if they're anything from last year, pretty girls in the stands.
That's
not, not much footage of actual football going on. But
they know how to edit a press conference. Sorry.
No, it's good. All right, so just to wind this down.
They're all about content.
Yeah, there is stuff coming up. The Super Draft, we have the first and third pick in the NCAA Draft or the Super Draft coming up next Thursday. And then training camp starts a couple weeks later. So it's going to be fast and furious.
Without a coach.
Yeah. That's my question. Who's going to be there then?
It's going to be O'Leary, who's the assistant, and Thomas Rongen. That's what I think are going to be the two guys that are going to be leading this team until...
I've just realized that tomorrow morning, Tottenham Hotspur play Queen's Park Rangers. Tottenham happens to be a team of mine, and I'll be hoping that Brian Nelson breaks his legs. Tomorrow, 7:45 in the morning.
You have multiple reasons for that.
I will be hoping that he breaks his legs and he'll come to Toronto quicker than he should.
Sure.
All right. Well, that's a great way to wrap this up, Andre.
And we want to, we've spread a lot of rumors here tonight, so we want to make sure that you, if you know more than us, which is a pretty good bet, we'd invite you to email us and send us some information about what you know. And you can do that at
info@rednationonline.ca or
have your say.
Have your say at Red Nation Online. I'm on Twitter, Red Nation Online's on Twitter. People know how to get a hold of us. So, hey, last year that was the case too. I mean, we said stuff on here and it
carried, we got lots of good feedback.
Yeah, carried over either to email or onto Twitter. So we're not afraid of that. You know, for us, it's part of the dialogue, really. I don't think we've ever sort of put on an air that we know, like, what's up.
We just whinge.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? Feel free. Get in touch. Let us know what's going on. And if we missed anything, point it out. We're not worried about that.
All right. Don't hold your breath.
All right. So
it's going to be a long season.
Andre Zadarazzi on the left.
Steve Perry on the right.
Andre, you already said Andre on the left.
Yeah, you're supposed to just name me out.
Sparky, you know, I'm rusty. Okay, Sparky. It's been a while. Sparky's in the center.
Thank you. All right. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Eastside Stand Up is the only Toronto FC specific podcast breaking down the game right after it happens. We want you to be involved. Reach out to us on Twitter through hashtag ESSU or at Red Nation Online. You can email us at haveyoursay@rednationonline or info@rednationonline. Get into the discussion on Toronto FC through Eastside Stand Up and Red Nation Online. They don't understand you, but you are.